Amazing. Did you feel the Spirit of God in this place? Thank you for calling our sensitivity to the presence of God in the congregation in worship. Thank you, Amber Days, and the leaders of the Amber Days. And also choir. Oh, amazing. I've been touched. And in this morning, earlier service, I screwed up a lot of things. I made a lot of different mistakes. And I was medicated with the cold and flu medicine. And I tried to not do sniffling and coughing or anything like that. I tried to shape up. And physically, I've been shaped up. But my brain went off to some other places in the earlier service. But is it, I feel like the music, the worship song, it brought me back to where I am, to be the worshiper, not the performers or the show off or anything, but it's a worshiper. You and I are here together in this morning to worship our awesome God with our whole heart. And in Amber Days, the music really brought us together to in a worshipful place in our midst. So we are worshiping our God. And I do believe that our God is so pleased to hear the praise songs, in prayers, in the Word of God. And we are trying to digest, to understand God in this place. And I am so thankful for the music ministry in the congregation. Starting today, we're going to get into the prayer sermon series. And today is the first day, they call it a prayer invitation to pray. Pray, if we just think about pray, it is hard to pray. What is a pray? And there are many different definitions of that. And my definition of a prayer is talking to God. How do we talk to God? How do we talk to each other? That is called a prayer. And we pray to God through Jesus Christ as a Methodist Christians. We do not need to go through the pastors or the staff of the congregation or anyone else. But we pray to God through Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's why we are restoring the faithful confession moments in the worship service by reciting the Apostles' Creed. Let God know and remind ourselves what kind of God we are believing as a Methodist Christian in this Schaumburg community. So the Trinity God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that is a faith statement we are holding in our midst while we are worshiping God. And that's the God we are working together to worship. And then Trinity God. So one by one, we're going to work on that. So as a first session for the prayer sermon series, I would like to start read the obituary first. Well, what a start, huh? All right. I found this obituary. I will read it and just listen. Mrs. Prayer Meeting died recently at the first neglected church on Worldly Avenue. Born many years ago in the midst of a great revival, she was one of the most influential members of the church family. For the past several years, Mrs. Prayer Meeting has been failing in health. At the last, she was but a shadow of her former self. Her last whispered words were inquiries concerning the absence of her loved one, now busy in the markets of trade and places of worldly amusement. Experts, including Dr. Wirtz, Dr. Whitforms, and Dr. Joyner, all disagree as to the cause of her fatal illness. They had administered large doses of organizations and soldiers and fellowships, but to no avail. A postmodern autopsy shows that a deficiency of spiritual food, coupled with a lack of faith and general support, were contributing causes. Only a few were present at her death. In honor of her going, the church doors will be closed on Wednesday night. Later on, might be Sunday morning too. How are we doing with a Mrs. Prayer Meeting in our midst? How are you doing with a Mrs. Prayer in your house, in your personal life? Have you offered the funeral service yet? Or your Mrs. Prayer is dying. You need to give the hospice care service for the Mrs. Prayer in your personal life. This is a time for us to check how are we doing with the Mrs. Prayer in a personal life as a congregation too. And then today's passage, Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, tell us how to start up, revisit this Mrs. Prayer ministry in our church, in our personal lives. Please open your Bible if you have, and it is Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. It will be showed up on the screen too. If you have not brought it, and today is not the only time that we're going to use the Bible. Thank you. It is set up, by the way. If you have a cell phone, please turn it off. And since before we getting into the reading of the scriptures, I got a phone call, and I would like to talk about phone calls and a phone. And I believe that many of us have a cell phone, right? Show me your hand if you do. I believe that every day you guys use the phones, right? Calling people and receiving the calls from others for many different reasons, I believe, right? You know, phone call is important. Calling each other is important. But if we do not have a power cord to keep up with the battery, it's useless. On the way to here from California, unexpectedly, the power cord to my cell phone got packed away. Because many people helped me to packing stuff in the house throughout the month. And I don't know who packed what, but it got missed. And instead of looking for power cord, I decided to use the phone at max until the battery died out. And then I disconnected the service because it's useless, right? And I do not know when I'm going to be able to locate the power cord. So I decided to disconnect it, and then I used my mother-in-law's extra phone, and which is lovely. And this is one of the examples I would like to give you. If you receive the phone from someone, you need to put the battery in first, right? And then charge it. And when you after you charge the battery, and you need to activate the phone to make a call. Yes, monthly you need to pay the bill too in order to continue to use the phone. We all, as a Christian, have this phone to use to call God and call people. Again, the meaning of the prayer to me is calling, talking to God. How often do we talk to God? How formally do we need to talk to our Father? Think about your relationship with your mother and father. Do you say, hey, Mrs. Shaw or the Mrs. Khan? Do you say that? Or, Dad, help, right? Our relationship with God is like that. We try to formalize our relationship, our God, who gave only begotten Son Jesus for us, to come to us, to have a communication with us, but we decided to formalize, hey, your God is up there, and I'm here, so I need to be formalized. Hey, Mr. God, or Mrs. God, we call. And then that's because of that, we do not know exactly how to talk to God, how to pray, even though we are in God's family. We call that we are member to the God's family, and we do not know how to talk to the household, our God. Because we are thinking about God to be out there somewhere, not our daddy, our mommy, or think about it. What kind of relationship do you have with God? Do you call God often? Or do you put your cell phone, your spiritual phone, put it aside somewhere? And then borrowing, asking someone else to give God a call on your behalf. Pastors are not being paid by the church to pray for you. I'm making it clear in here. You and I are on the same journey with a different giftedness and different calling. We are on the same page, the same boat. I need a lot of prayer, like you do. I do receive many prayer requests from the people. At the same time, I'm openly share my prayer need too. To be on the same page with you, I need lots of help. Unexpectedly, last week, my husband got into the car accident. Instead of calling 911, he called me. That is the first number he can think of. And what can I do? I was in the middle of visiting people at the sick bed, the person in the sick bed, and Joanne, who in the prayer ministry leader, were there and pray over the person, and my husband called. And what should I do? I answered, because usually he does not call me during the daytime whenever he's out there. But called, and I answered, and I got a car accident. So I told him, call 911. When you are in urgency, whom do you call? The first person we need to call is our God, who has everything, source of everything, who knows and will know everything inside out, head to toe. But we are neglecting the presence of God, whom we can call upon all the time. Today's message, clear sound, call to me. Call to me. He said it, I missed the call. Somebody call it again. You know what? Turn it off. Yeah, let's read the passage together. Ready? Go. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. This passage is called the theology of neology, which means praying theology. You need to get down on your knee and pray. Call to me. Call to me. Then God promised, I will answer. I will answer. God determined that God will answer you. Not to make it a miss the call or go through the message or anything. God gave us a direct line to give call. So God said, I will answer. And then I let you know and tell you great, unsearchable, unthinkable things you do not know. Do you call God when you are in the position to have a question? I believe that all of us have a question in our life. Where do you search the answer to the questions that you have in your personal life? God is the one. God said it, I will answer you. If you do not know something, call me. I will help you out. But in order to call God, we need to have a phone number, right? What is God's phone number? B-I-B-L-E. That's God's phone number. And God has a 66 extension number. Do you know that? Depend on where you are. You can call God and interpret the message that you are getting from the Lord. You needed to call. Read the Bible and through the prayer, you needed to interpret that. And in one of the songs where I was preparing the message, it came up to my mind when I taught the younger children of God. It goes like this. If you want a victory, tell him what you want. If you want a victory, tell him what you want. If you want a victory, tell him what you want. He will answer you. Second verse, it goes like this. Call him up, call him up. Join me. Tell him what you want. Call him up, call him up. Tell him what you want. Call him up, call him up. Tell him what you want. He will answer you. If you believe that he will answer you, say amen.
Amen.
Definitely he will answer you. The problem we have is we never call God. We call different persons. other persons and other folks. Whenever you use a cell phone or calling, you will find yourself on the phone this week. Remember, you needed to call God too. Whenever you have a conversation with others, think about it. How desperately God wants to be on the phone with you and give you all the answers. Our God forgave us through Jesus Christ. He given up His only begotten Son for you and me to connect this communication line. He set up the service lines for us. I do believe that in this cross there is an antenna up there, right? How is our reception? Good? You know, how we need to put an antenna within ourselves. Sunday morning service is a kind of checking up time, recharging time. Make sure that our spiritual cell phone is connected to this power cord to be charged. Throughout the week, you and I can call God and call other people on behalf of the church and on behalf of others. We need to fully charge throughout the worship service. Some people told me that I'm an energetic bunny. Yeah, I guess I am. But we needed to be fully charged. And I am being charged by God through the word of God, through the prayer. I'm inviting you to join me in this prayer ministry, in recharging ministry. Invitation to prayer is the divine invitation. You are given an amazing gift. Use it. The service is already been set up for you. Reception is so good. Simply, you need to push the button to call God. God said God will answer you and me when we call. He already determined that. Yes, I'm going to go before God and call God on behalf of you too. But God wants to hear from you too. So call God, get down on your knees, and let God know your need. Throughout this week, think about it. How much God loves you enough to forgive sins we are making, mistakes we are making. Through the prayer, we can let God know how much we are appreciative of God. And let God know how painful stage of life you are going through. I am with you. I'm going to go before God with you too. But you are the one who needed to talk to God personally too. You needed to exercise. Our God is not a furious God, not angry God. God loves you. God loves to hear about your voice and your life and your everything. Let God know our God is our daddy God, our mother God, and then whatever you wanted to gender, you wanted to put, our God is a God who cares for our personal life. So let God know. As a continuation of this calling business, and throughout the next Sunday and the following Sunday, we're going to talk about how to talk to God more systematically. But for this week, just let God know what you are going through. Call God and just take this invitation from your bottom of the heart and respond. Today we're going to have a special moment to remind ourselves our relationship with God. The baptism. We are not baptizing anyone in this morning, by the way. Today, as a sign of calling, God called us first, and we are responding. If we do not respond, there is no communication. God called us, and a baptism is the outer and a visible sign of God's grace. It is a means of grace by which Holy Spirit works invisibly in us to confirm our faith and strengthen our faith. If you have baptized, if you do not know you have not baptized or have baptized, please ask someone. If you are not so sure, talk to me. And having a baptismal moment, it is very important as a Protestant Christians in this 21st century. So I would like to invite those who are baptized to come forward and put your hand in the bowl of water in here and pull out your wet hand and put it on your forehead and tell yourself, I am baptized. Martin Luther, who reformed the Christianity, always do that when he go through the hard time in the beginning of his day. He is baptized, which means God is with me. That is a sign. God is with me. God called me to do whatever I need to do for the day and throughout the week, throughout his life. So in this morning, we're going to have a moment to remind the baptismal covenant we have. So you're going to come forward. Our usher will be assisting you to come forward. And you're going to wet your hand and put it on your forehead and tell yourself, I am baptized. And those people who have not baptized yet, you are still blessed by God. So you are also invited to come forward and wet your hand and then wet your both hand and saying, I am blessed. Do you follow the instruction? All right. Then let's say that the covenant, what is it called? A baptismal covenant together. We're going to read the baptismal covenants together. It is a covenant through the baptism we made with the Lord through the church. Let us confess. I affirm. I receive and profess the Christian faith. Amen. During the singing of the hymn, the baptismal hymn, you will be assisted to come forward, and I would like to invite the pastor, Reverend Elizabeth, to assist me for this. Thank you. Please join me saying the covenant prayer. I believe that we have a screen, I believe, right? Let us offer a covenant prayer, Wesleyan traditional prayer. Let us pray. I am no longer my own, but thy. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee, or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee, or brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and wholly yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine, so be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Please stand and let us sing the closing hymn.